All right, Wednesday night, 12 November, and we're in a very, very important study. I'm just sorry there's so few here, fighting few. To me, it's just so vital. I've never gone this journey, in this direction, this depth, in dealing with the Spirit of Truth, and talking about the Holy Spirit being sent. But before we do that, let's talk about our prayers. Let's see, we need to be in prayer for Sharon West as they're driving tonight. And need to be in prayer for Dan and Pat as they are today is Wednesday. So they're in Livingston. Tomorrow they'll go to Zambia and be with Julie and the widow. Stuart died. And so they'll start working with them. They were either going to go today or tomorrow and to Zambia. And they've got to get from Lusaka, Zambia, way maybe, oh gosh, let me see, about a three-hour bus drive, as I recall, up to the village. You know, it's even more than that. It's about a four-hour, because 3 hours to where you turn off and another hour, hour and a half to down to the, through the, no really road, but dirt road. And if it rains, it's all over. In fact, one time it rained and they had to come get Pat with a actual ox goat in the cart. Take her in there. And so we need to be in prayer for Julie. We need to be in prayer for those pastors, for Dan and Pat, and just all that's going on in that respect. So that's powerful. Need to be in prayer for the Risleys. Some more people were gunned down in their village. And so it's all drug related, but just nevertheless, that's how close. And they just live in an obscure little village. But it's got a square, and on one corner of the square, here's the road, it just travels everywhere, and here's the square. Right here is a little hot dog stand, and that's where the sheriff and the deputy were gunned down before the week before we got there. And over here is a Catholic church, but no priest. But all these villages I learned have churches, but there's no priest at them. Sometimes a visiting priest comes through, but it doesn't mean anything just because there's a church, I learned. And so some more people were gunned down, drug-related in that area. But we just need to be in prayer for their safety and the safety of their children, holding American hostages and all kinds of different things that can happen. So we need to be in prayer for the Risleys at this time, Grady and Cheryl and Bill and Pat and all of them. Let's see, we need to be in prayer for Tish. She's not feeling well at all today, I understand. So we need to be in prayer for her. Need to be in prayer for Don Becker as he continues to recover from his operation. He'll be in somewhat pain for another week. And then Nancy, we need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards, his family. Any other prayer requests that we need? Okay. I'm trying to think my way through these things quickly. I should write them down. Okay. Let's prepare ourselves in prayer for our study. And we're in John 14. I will ask the Father, and He will send you another Paracletos, and He will be with you forever, as opposed to my leaving you. I left you, but He's going to stay with you forever. Then in verse 17, He identifies Him as the Spirit of Truth. What a powerful statement. So let's begin the word of prayer. We're about through with this aspect of the study, but by no means have we exhausted it. But in fact, it's going to come up Sunday morning in Romans, how one group of people will not obey the truth. So what is that? And it's one of those terms that you get line up pastors and whatever they want to say the truth is. So let's go into prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test ourselves to see if we're trusting His Spirit to open our eyes to the things that He'd have us to see. Let's pray. You Your plan, Heavenly Father, is so perfect. We get in the way. We have our plans, we have our ideas, our desires. When we get into your plan, it's not only so right, it's fun, it's peaceful, it's relaxing, it's challenging, it's dynamic, it's changing, and all these wonderful things. Now, Father, pray that your Spirit will open our eyes in understanding Him, the Spirit of Truth. We don't have a platform we're trying to make all these verses fit into. We simply give ourselves to your Spirit to open our eyes to the things that He'd have us to see. It's the changing of the garb, Jesus Christ leaving, coming of the Spirit of Truth. Pray that we'll get a correct understanding of our relationship with Him and our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with you. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Parakletos, that He may be with you forever. The Parakletos is going to be with them forever, unlike Jesus Christ, who is going to leave. And then they be looking for another human being. So in verse 17, that is the Spirit of Truth. And we have well gotten ourselves to this point. It started out, if you recall, with looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, and the fig tree and the garden. This is where all of this tree of knowledge and searching of knowledge. Man seeks two different ways of getting to God. One through knowledge, figure it all out. Other through works, that's the fig tree, and all these things. And then we went to a noting of it. First of all, God is truth. God is absolute truth. Two, Jesus Christ is that truth revealed, manifested. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Three, He is called the Spirit of Truth by Jesus Christ in sending the Holy Spirit to believers in the church age. He is called the Spirit of Truth. That is that He is truth in and of Himself. Four, remember that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are different, yet similar. They're different, yet similar. That's very important. Another Parakletos, another one like me, deity, therefore truth. Then five, that truth that Jesus Christ is, that truth of life which He brought down with Him as spiritual reality, spiritual truth. The truth and life of God, truth of fellowship with God. He is the Spirit of divine truth. Six, to the degree that we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit by faith, to that degree, He reveals divine truth to us. Seven, took a little time. There are two essentials that every man, woman desires. Truth, and then the eye to see it and know it. One is external. Truth is outside of our being. The ability to understand it by faith is inside. So there are two aspects of the Spirit of Truth. He is inside. That's why Christ said He's in you. He will be with you. And we spend some time in that respect. Then point eight, the Holy Spirit teaches truth. He does not only give us words coming from without, He enters within us and causes us to know truth from within. And when we by faith, not by intellect, not by IQ, not by our ability to figure it out, not by logic, empiricism, or rationalism, but by simple faith, He will open up the truth. Point nine, Jesus Christ said He will ask the Father. The Father will send us the Spirit of Truth. He told us what primary function the Spirit of Truth would be. John 15:26, He would bear witness of Me. Jesus Christ is truth, so He will bear witness of that truth. Point ten, now this about this Holy Spirit. Many Christians who are afraid to think and too much about the Holy Spirit, afraid to trust the Holy Spirit, that will lead away from trusting the Savior and all these types of problems. And Christ said he came to bear witness of me, so we must trust him in bearing witness of Jesus Christ. Then there are others who make such a big deal about the Holy Spirit. These are the charismatics. Here we noted that the charismatics make so much of themselves and their blessing of the Holy Spirit, how they get the second blessing and how they speak in tongues, whereas the Holy Spirit came to reveal and glorify Jesus Christ, not us. So that's a very important little point in dealing with that aspect. Then point 11, he is called the Spirit of Truth, yet it is said in John 16:13-14, he shall not speak of himself. Jesus Christ said the same thing of himself. He will not come to speak of himself. John 12:49, John 14:10. Now, he will not speak of himself. So just as Jesus Christ is truth of God from God, so the Holy Spirit is truth of God from God. And we spend some time in that respect. He is the Spirit of Truth, incarnate Word, that is Spirit of Christ, in that he is sent by Jesus Christ, John 16:7. He came to glorify me, John 16:14. Came to speak of Jesus Christ, glorify Jesus Christ, make us know Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of Truth. Spirit of Truth. How is he the Spirit of Truth of the written Word? Well, he inspired the writers of Scripture, 2 Peter 1:21, all the way through the Word. Secondly, he is the Spirit of the written Word in that he illuminates men as to the truthfulness, the truth that is written in the Word. He is the Spirit of Truth in reference to the living Word in revealing Jesus Christ to us. So he is that living Word. And we spend a lot of time in dealing with this, the Spirit of Truth, revealing Jesus Christ in this regard. Now that begins tonight with point 12. So let's slow down now and get point 12 down in our understanding. In the spiritual warfare, now we're all involved in the spiritual warfare. Your marriage is involved in spiritual warfare. Your own individual spiritual life is involved in the spiritual warfare. If you're a believer, you are in the spiritual warfare. So in the spiritual warfare, this truth is the great danger of the Christian life. Now, what do I mean by that? This truth is the great danger of the Christian life. Seeking to know the truth of God in his word without relying totally in the Spirit of Truth by faith, the most dangerous thing a believer can do. It's worse than sin. In sin, we know we're out. But you open this book and you try to grasp the truthfulness of this book outside of trusting the Spirit of the Spirit of Truth, you're going to miss the whole realm. So many are Christians who desire to know the truth of God, and I mean that. I think there are a multitude of Christians who desire to know the truth of God. I think they study the Bible, they read the Bible, they listen to preachers, they go to different kind of classes. They read their Bibles. They read other writers, men, women, young people. All this without depending on the Holy Spirit. And people, I don't care how much time you spend. If it's not spent in the power of the Spirit, you're like that little gerbil that just goes on that wheel. You're spinning your wheels and you're going to get nowhere. You're just spinning your wheels. And I'm sorry, but I believe that describes much of American history. We've had people that just spend their life in seminaries, churches, people studying the Bible, reading the Bible, writing about the Bible, have never a clue of trusting His Spirit to open their eyes. Without depending on the Holy Spirit by faith, refusing to just trust the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to them. Not depending on their IQ, not depending on their ability, not depending on their ability to analyze, to do all of these things, but relying on the Spirit of truth to reveal the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel, the truth of God. And I believe that's what we're finally coming up to. Why is America bankrupt spiritually? Because I don't think we've laid a foundation in the power of the Holy Spirit in the study of His Word. And I'm talking about even in the Bible Church movement. I went to a Bible conference several years ago, and boy, it was just all about the Greek and the Hebrew and how it is all in there. And they got up there and they analyzed and they did this. They wowed me, and that's what I do. And man, I mean, what they did with the languages and all. And I remember John and Dan and I at the break, we all looked at each other simultaneously and we just smiled. And we all was thinking the same thing. It's not there. It's not hidden there. You don't have to know that. It's wonderful. There are wonderful jewels that the Holy Spirit can open up when I study in the Greek and Hebrew. But that's not where the secret is. Secrets in the Holy Spirit. It's not whether you have the NIV, NASV, King James, or some other translation. It's not there. It's in relying on the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and ears. The tempter of old, that old serpent, still moves among God's people. And knowledge is still his great temptation to a majority of people. I think this is, we used to hear talk about the four movements, we call them four circles, and he's got an answer for you. But one movement is the moral righteousness, and this would be characterized like by the Southern Baptist. Then you have the second, and that's knowledge. Study the Word of God, study the Word of God, and that's where I went. I went from the moral righteousness. I made a horizontal movement, not a vertical, and went over to the knowledge, and boy, it's there, and it's sound. And then the third is a charismatic or emotional experience with God, and then the fourth is simply called service. And the moral righteousness is control of the body. And there are people that they're real good at controlling the body, so they are drawn to that. Then you have the knowledge, that's the control of the mind. And there are people who they love their exercise of their mind. They have a good IQ, and they love studying and all of this. Then you have emotion, control of the emotion, and service, one's life. Oh, I got to serve God to the actual to the hurt of your family, of yourself, and all. But I'm serving God, and a lot of people make horizontal moves, spiritual moves, and let's say they were emotional, and they go over to here to the knowledge, and boy, oh, this is it! I have found it! Boy, you just got to learn and study. They've not made a movement this way to the filling of the Holy Spirit in the Spirit-filled life. They've just made vertical moves, horizontal moves. They've just moved from service to immoral righteousness, and from moral righteousness to, and from knowledge to emotion. Oh boy, I study. We never moted. We never sang. We never got down on our knees. We never waved our hand. Oh, this is it, man. You just got to emote. This is where the Lord is. No, you've just made a horizontal move. You have not moved any closer to God. You've just moved from one work program to another. And this characterizes so many people. But they've not made a dependency on the Holy Spirit. So the tempter of old uses knowledge, because there's always those who will either adhere to it or discover it. And boy, this is the whole thing. Now, is there an element of moral righteousness? Yes. Is there an element in the spiritual life of knowledge? Yes. Is there an element of emotional? Yes. Is there an element of certain? Yes. But these are not the momentum, you see. But there have been those that, oh, knowledge, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that has been with us all the way through the history of man. From the garden till now, the adversary seeks to tempt man with knowledge, tempt man by knowledge, apart from the Spirit of truth. What a tragedy. And I think this describes maybe not just American history, maybe it describes church history with just few little exceptions and through history. Many Christians know how important it is to serve Him, but even most of these seek to know Him. And that's what we want to know Him. And yet few know how to seek to know Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Few know how to receive salvation that Jesus Christ paid for on the cross. And yet even fewer know how to be filled with the Spirit, power by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, have the fruit of the Spirit poured into you. Both are the mystery of faith. The mystery of faith. Just believe in Jesus. How can that be that all I have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and I have eternal life? How can that be? It's a mystery of faith. How is it that I can just believe in the Holy Spirit and He pours in those gifts apart from me? It's a mystery of faith. Many who have knowledge by their study of the flesh, very sincere, desiring to know the truth, yet even with their knowledge, they've not experienced the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They've not experienced the peace that such knowledge was supposed to bring, the inner joy that such knowledge was supposed to give. Yet they do not experience these things, but depend on their own abilities to learn. Now watch this. To learn and apply doctrine. I'm going to learn and I'm going to apply. I'm going to learn doctrine and then be able... You see, here's how this works. You learn Bible doctrine here. And then what you've got to do is you've got to be able to apply it to the proper circumstances. See? I should put question marks. So you've got to... proper circumstance. Now, what happens is, what if you fail here? Well, you didn't have enough doctrine. You didn't have enough. You didn't have enough doctrine to know what to do in that circumstance. You got to learn more Bible. People, anytime somebody says you need more, you know it's a works program. Even if they say more faith, you know they do not understand that the standard of measurement of faith is a grain of seed of mustard seed. They say you need more faith, more knowledge, more emotion, more service, more this, more morality, more. It's a works program. All God is looking for is a grain of mustard seed of faith. In the object, in the one that He sent, He sent His Son for our eternal life. He sent His Spirit for our spiritual life. That's all that He needs. That's all that He needs. So, but this is really not unlike Adam and Eve, who after finding only death, and no hope in the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did they do? Here's what they did. We got three trees. We got a tree here. Now, I'm not an artist. Got a tree here in the garden. That's the right in the center of the garden. But over here, we got this tree. And this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they ate of that. Found out they were dead. They were dead. Here's life. Let's bypass this one and let's go over to this old fig tree. And let's do works. Let's build us some clothes. Put on our clothes. You put on a fig leaf in three parts of your body and I'll put on a fig leaf, one part of mine, and we'll be right with each other. Wrong. Got to go to this tree. Tree of life. This is a tree of faith. See? So Adam and Eve, we're not unlike Adam and Eve. Go from knowledge to works, hoping to gain a reward from doing for God, only to find disappointment. Find disappointment here, find disappointment here. The only place we're going to find the fulfillment is in the tree of life, which is by faith. Both trees are disappointment. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the fig tree. Only the tree of life gives life and true knowledge. Now, remember point 11. Remember what point 11 was about. Seeking to know God, the truth of God, seeking to know the truth of God in His Word, without relying totally on the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth by faith. That was point 11, seeking to know the truth of God in His Word without relying totally on the Spirit of truth by faith. These people do not know or believe that the Spirit of truth is in them to disclose the truth. You don't have to figure it out. It's already there. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to study and work it all and get it all. It's just let Him open your eyes. Just trust the Spirit of truth was in them to disclose the truth. He's in each of us to disclose the truth. People, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Yes, we have a local church set up by Jesus Christ. Yes, we have men gifted with the gift of pastor-teacher to study, to spend their time studying and then teaching the truth. But people, you use the Holy Spirit when you listen to any speaker, me or anybody else, teaching you the Bible. You've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. Is what He's saying truth? Does this sound like truth? Does this sound like God? Does this sound like grace? Does this sound like the work of Christ on the cross? Or does this sound like works? Does this sound like God expects me to do something? And you just trust the Spirit to open your eyes. So people do not know or believe or utilize the fruit, the Spirit of truth in them to teach them truth. This is one reason for Jesus Christ sending the Holy Spirit, to illuminate the truth. The truth is leaving. Boom. He's there. We watch. So here we are. Jesus Christ is here in Plano, Dallas. We walk while Him. Okay, there it is. He's gone. How am I going to know truth? And with the church age, which is going to be all over the world, it would be impossible. Everybody, all believers in the world can't stay at Hilton Inn. There's no Hilton Inn that big. So how are Christians all over the world, Africa, Europe, America, wherever you are, whatever continent in the world you're in, how are we going to know the truth? Well, I'm going to give you another Parakletos, just like me. He will be with you and in you. That is the Spirit of truth. I'm truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He has come to reveal the truth. Here are two reasons for Jesus Christ sending the Holy Spirit. One, to make known the truth of Jesus Christ. Actually, three. Two, to make known the truth of Scripture. And three, to make Jesus Christ a reality in the life of the believer. People, we don't make Him a reality. Oh, I'm going to serve Jesus, and I'm going to sing a hymn about Jesus every morning, and I'm going to think about Jesus. I don't have time to think about Him. I'm thinking about Jesus. I'm thinking about Jesus. Don't bother me now. I've got to think about, because I don't want anything. I want this to happen. No. That's flesh. I'm going to trust His Spirit to make Jesus Christ a reality, a glory in my life. And without the activity of the Holy Spirit, people, I'm sorry, this is impossible. Without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the active ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is by faith, it is impossible even for the believer to know the truth of Scripture. Point 13. Again, coming off of point 11. Point 11, seeking to know the truth of God in His Word without relying on the Holy Spirit by faith. Principle comes from salvation 1, eternal life salvation. The pattern of eternal life salvation establishes the pattern in our life. In order to be saved eternally, the first thing we had to do was what? Deny self-ability. Deny self-ability to do anything. Now, I get excited. But my excitement means it takes longer to teach. But I want to show you something. Now, this was done, maybe 10 to 14 days ago I did this. So I'm working this week, and let me show you Romans. Look at Romans 2 a moment. Romans 2. Now remember what we just said. We just said now. The pattern for salvation is established, for our life established by salvation 1. The first thing we had to do before you're saved, deny all self-ability. Look at Romans 2 in describing the unbelievers. Verse 8. Romans 2, 8. But to those who are selfishly ambitious. People, if you're selfishly ambitious, you're not going to go by faith. You're not going to deny self. And before we'll ever be, that's all you can turn, if you got your text at John. But if you're not going to deny self, you're not going to go to just faith. I've got to be a part of this. I've got to do something. I've got to figure it out. I've got to work for it. So here we're looking at the first thing we've got to do is deny self-ability to do anything to be saved. And those who have selfish ambition, me, you're never going to get there. See, salvation, be it eternal life salvation or spiritual salvation, while we're the ones that benefit by being saved, it must glorify God. That salvation must glorify God. That's why salvation cannot be of us, so we boast. Now, we're the ones that get saved, but it's just not about us. Our salvation is not about us. Our salvation is about the glory of God. So if anybody comes up with a salvation that depends on man, they take away from God. And that's not salvation. So the simplicity, the simple point is, I want to get saved so I don't spend eternity in a lake of fire and I'm saved forever. It's all about me. But the twister is, no, it's not about you. It's about the glory of God who takes you from that and saves you from that by His glory, by His grace, by His love, by His mercy. See? So this is very beautiful. So, first thing is a self-denial of self. Saved by faith alone. So it is in recovery from power of sin, in every aspect of worship of God, even in our prayer life, in the study of the Word, singing, giving, anything, everything. We have to first recognize and acknowledge we have no ability in ourselves. That's truth. That's truth. We have no ability before God in ourselves. We deny any power in ourselves in understanding this book. Doesn't depend on me. Depends on the Holy Spirit and my trusting Him. I hope this doesn't ever come across as degrading, because that certainly isn't my point. In fact, it's uplifting. This is why I often say, I believe that at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be some poor black pastor in the backwoods of Georgia, Alabama, who's going to walk away with more rewards than these highfalutin TV of Bible church preachers and all this stuff who have thousands of people and all of that. It's that old black preacher just trusted the Holy Spirit and taught it that way. And he brought his people there. And some of these highfalutin preachers are going to be asking him, can I drive one of your trucks with all your rewards in it? And I believe that. I do believe that. and because it doesn't depend on our IQ. That to understand this text, you have to deny you're depending on yourself. You deny your ability. And people, this is true in everything. I remember I did a wedding one time for a family member. And no, I didn't do the wedding. I was at a wedding rehearsal dinner, and the family member asked me to lead in prayer, and I prayed. And I got through, and another family member said, "Boy, man, that must be a gift to pray and all that." And I just laughed it off. But people, even our prayer life isn't up to us. I don't have the ability to talk to God. Okay, Spirit, I'm going topside. Lead me in this prayer. And it is even our prayers, our singing, whatever we do, if it's spiritual, it's not about our ability. It's about His ability, relying on Him. So, but we're talking about understanding and seeing truth. We deny our ability. People, I've been trained in Greek and Hebrew. I never rely on Greek and Hebrew in understanding this text. In fact, sometimes it's been confusing in the Greek or Hebrew, like Romans 2. And which we'll see Sunday morning. So, just got to rely on Him to open the window of the truth. So, the empowerment, the enlightenment is to be in the Holy Spirit. And He was sent for this very purpose. He's going to do what He was sent to do. I believe Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father to save me. I believe if I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm saved forever. Holy Spirit is sent to do what? Reveal the truth. I believe if I trust Him, He'll reveal the truth to me. It's that simple. Salvation 1 sets the pattern for the Christian life. There are Christians who realize they must deny their own righteousness. But there is one other aspect we need to deny. This one's difficult. There are many Christians who realize, I can't depend on my own righteousness. But you know what? We have to deny our own wisdom. We have to deny our own IQ. People who are intelligent have a handicap when it comes to studying Scripture. They'll depend on their IQ. They'll depend on their ability of analytically looking at the text. Their ability to build these categories and build things, and they start getting so involved in all of that. We have to deny our righteousness. We have to deny our wisdom and let Him reveal it to us. To deny our own ability of grasping Scripture. There are many who depend on their IQ for wisdom. Ability to study the Bible, and then to apply Bible doctrine from the Bible inside their head. Their own ability to match a specific circumstance with a specific doctrine. Well, the first thing we have to do is to deny our own ability and rely on His Holy Spirit. Because, let me just tell you a little thing about applying doctrine. And I'm doing this not to brag, I'm doing it to make a point. I've been studying the Bible since I was about 7 or 8 years old, different levels and different ways, and Greek and Hebrew and all that. There is so much up here that if I wanted to do it by human thing, I could talk myself in and out of anything and use Bible verses to do it. I could just, well, this verse says I ought to do that in that situation. But you know what? This other thing says I could do that in that situation. Well, wait a minute. I could come up with about 5 different things in one circumstance and apply 5 different doctrines and do 5 different things. And I mean, that's really confusing. It's much better when you don't know anything, just one. But when you got, see, you don't have to do that. I don't have that responsibility. Given a circumstance, and let Him apply it. So we have to deny our own ability and rely on the Holy Spirit. How do we rely on the Holy Spirit? By faith. We need to realize our total dependency on the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, to think about Christ, to be like Christ, to love as Christ loved. This is why He sent the Spirit of truth. So we'll know this love, receive this love as a fruit, and love as He loved by His power. Impossible in the flesh to love as Christ loved. The power of the Spirit, we can do it. The Spirit of truth does not speak from Himself, but what He hears, and He listens. So when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, what are we? We're quiet. We're quiet. And listen. We won't turn to it, but just write down Deuteronomy 27:9. We're quiet. We're quiet of our own talking. And we're listening to what the Spirit of the truth has to say to us in all things. Lewis Berry Chafer, founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, used to say, the Holy Spirit will always whisper loud enough for those who are listening to hear. I love that. But if you're talking, you won't hear him. It's like, I know people, I used to know this couple in Houston. Bless their heart, they're both home with the Lord now. But, and I mean not just once in a while. This older couple, I love them dearly, but they would talk, and they'd both talk at the same time. They'd talk and receive to each other at the same time. And I remember one time I said, no, Ted, I said, we were just talking about that. And he said, Herman, I asked Marjorie to marry me 56 years ago. She's still answering me. I loved it. They didn't mind, but they could. And I just sit there in amazement. They could both transmit and receive at the same time. But with the Holy Spirit, people, you want to learn to listen. You want to learn to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. The Holy Spirit does not speak to our emotions. Emotions are involved in Spirit-filled life, but it doesn't speak to our emotions. It speaks to our souls out of the human spirit. And it is only by faith that what he teaches, his teaching, is the revealing of truth to us. But by faith in him who is in us to lead and reveal the truth that is outside of us to us inside. So our first step is denial. First step is denial. Self-denial of all self-dependency. Then when you are in self-denial, just like in our salvation, now you're ready for faith. See, I can do nothing to save myself, so I've stopped. So, you stop. Here's the cross. Here's self. First thing we have to do is stop relying on self, deny self, and now you're ready for simple faith. You're now ready to just trust him. So the first step, now as a believer, I want the fruit of the Spirit, I want the wisdom of the Spirit, I want the truth of the Spirit. Deny self. Deny self. And put faith in the Holy Spirit to do what he was sent to do. We're to trust in the Spirit of truth. He was sent to us by Jesus Christ. The Spirit of truth was sent to reveal the truth of Jesus Christ to us, to our intellect. But not by our intellect. To our intellect. He uses our brain that he gave us, but not by our intellect, but by our human spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2. Let's see if this familiar passage comes a little bit clearer now. I've read this passage 100 times and will probably read it another 100 times. And every time it just more and more comes out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. One of the most powerful chapters on the Spirit-filled life in the Bible. There's Romans 8. 1 Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians 3. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, let's begin at verse 10. For to us, God revealed them through the Holy Spirit. Okay. He revealed truths to us. For the Spirit, so Holy Spirit searches all things. Now I'm not going to exegete. We'll just read it as we go through here. Searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man. In other words, we can think as human beings. We all have the spirit of man in us. We're not dogs. We're not cats. We're not horses. We're human. So we have the spirit of man in us. That's small s there. The spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So this is who we're trusting. I don't know why people have trouble trusting the Holy Spirit. He's the third member of the Godhead. Now that we're saved, we have received at salvation not the spirit of the world. We got that at our first birth. But now, at our second birth, we've received the Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is from God. What did Jesus Christ say? I will ask the Father and He will send you Spirit from God, that we might know, there's that knowing, the things freely given to us by God. People, you're not going to know the things freely given to you outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, which things given to us by God, we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. Let's go through this and analyze all this and let me figure it all out for you and all that. But in those taught by the Holy Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts from God with spiritual. It's a human spirit inside of us. Verse 14. Now, natural man, that's an unbeliever. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Now, this is important because in John 14:17, do you remember what he said? The world does not receive him. Remember that? I won't make us turn to it right now. But in 14:17, that is the Spirit of the truth whom the world cannot receive. Okay, look here. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are the things of God, foolishness to him. And what's foolish to man? Faith in Jesus Christ for salvation by faith alone. I'm talking spiritual people here, religious people. Oh, you got to do this to be saved. That's foolishness. It's foolishness to them that, all you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. You say, no. You mean all you got to do is trust the Holy Spirit? You feel, no. That's foolishness to them. Foolishness to him. He cannot even understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Contrasting that, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. That's why Paul says, I'm not judged by anyone. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Now this is a quote from Isaiah, and it's referring to the Holy Spirit. Who has known the mind of the Lord? This Holy Spirit. That he should instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. What's the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit. It's Isaiah passage. The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. It's the whole subject matter of this text, of this chapter. So, trust in the Holy Spirit to who is in the form of truth, the Son, to reveal the Son of truth, Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Christ, life, Savior, for all the things that Jesus Christ is. We trust the Holy Spirit to inform us of the truth of Jesus Christ, all that He is. We must confess that we have no life, we have no wisdom, no ability of spiritual goodness apart from the Spirit of truth. Only when we acknowledge these things will we rely completely on the Holy Spirit. I want to finish point 14. And this will get us back to the text next week. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is also the Spirit of life. He is also the Spirit of life. Now, 14, I'm pulling a lot of things together, so please bear with me. Don't be looking at your watch. Please bear with me. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth because He's also the Spirit of life. Look at John 7 with me a moment. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. This is about you and what's going on inside of you, so I hope you don't want to know. John 7. John 7, 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were, day of Pentecost, future tense, to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. When He departs and leaves, He'll send the Holy Spirit to us. Now look at Romans 2, please. Romans 8. Great chapter on the Holy Spirit. Romans 8. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, Spirit of truth, Spirit of life, in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And one final passage, 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. I love this study. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, that's the law, but of the Spirit. The new covenant is the Holy Spirit. That's what we do on Communion Sunday. For the letter kills, the law kills. The Spirit gives life. See, people, knowledge does set you free. Knowledge does get you life, but it's got to be truth. It's got to be the truth that the Holy Spirit gives, and it's also life. So His truth gives life. The lie brings death. The truth brings life. Jesus Christ is the truth and the life. And He sends another Parakletos, another just like Him, deity, but yet another like Him. Jesus Christ is deity. The Holy Spirit's deity. Jesus Christ is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. Jesus Christ is life. The Holy Spirit is life. Jesus Christ is life. You can look at John 14:6. John 1:4. John 11:25. And we just looked at something. The Holy Spirit is life. Personal sins have many effects and results in our lives. One of them is death, temporal death. But when we trust His Spirit, He gives life. He brings us temporarily alive again. Again, this is patterned after the one being made eternally alive in Jesus Christ. We're born into the world spiritually dead. We believe in Jesus eternally. We believe in Jesus Christ. We're spiritually alive forever. Same pattern in our life. When we sin, we're temporarily dead. Get back into faith in the Spirit and alive. But in time in our lives while on earth, we may be temporally dead by sin. We're made alive that quick by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. The first is the work of the Son of God. The second is the work of the Spirit of God. Unfortunately, many Christians just hold on to Jesus Christ, to His work on the cross, and never move to the work of the Holy Spirit, whom He, Jesus Christ, sent to us. And therefore, they can never experience all the fruit of the Spirit. Experience the fruit of the Spirit if you're not in trusting the Spirit. Jesus Christ sent Him to us. They never grow in truth because they do not want to walk by faith in the Spirit, do not want to rely on the Holy Spirit to these things. They do not love as Christ loved. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's incorruptible. Human love is corruptible. His love is incorruptible. They simply refuse to trust the Holy Spirit. Look at Psalm 51:6. We're almost through. Psalm 51:6. Psalm 51:6, behold, thou, God the Father, dost desire truth in the innermost being, in my innermost being, in the innermost being of man, and in the hidden part, it's our soul, you will make me know wisdom. It's God's desire. God will do it. Question. How does God make known truth in our innermost being? This is why God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And to indwell our innermost being. To make known the truth. Our innermost being. This is the new covenant. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The empowering of the Holy Spirit. Teaching of the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of truth. He leads, guides, imparts His fruit. Yet many lose out on all these wonderful blessings because they simply refuse to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. As long as we remain alive in the Holy Spirit, our ears are open to His voice, the wisdom of truth. Closing, let me read John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, future tense, I will ask when He goes and He's ascended and seated at the right hand of God the Father, and He, God the Father, will give you, all right, this is confidence in prayer by Jesus Christ, another just like me, parakletos. I've got to turn the word, the Greek word, into an English word because helper just doesn't cut it. There's so many different words that it is. That, in order that, He may be with you forever. Why does He add that? Because He's getting ready to leave. So they may think, well, you're going to send us another one that's going to leave. No, this one will be with you forever. But don't look for a man. It's the Spirit of truth. It's a spirit unseen by the eye. It's a spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him. Okay, we'll take up the world next Wednesday night. We'll take up the world. Well, that's sort of a Herculean task, isn't it? We're going to take up the whole world next Wednesday night. Well, we'll just take up one segment of the world and one aspect of that segment. All right. Any questions on the spirit of truth? Anything we fail to cover or cover adequately. Okay, if something comes up, please let me know. I'm still learning things and finding things that I could have gone back and redid some of those points. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, first and foremost, we just praise You. What an awesome God You are. My goodness, You just thought of everything. Nothing skipped You. You sent to us Your Savior, our Savior, Your Son, to do what we could not do, reconcile ourselves with You. And then, Heavenly Father, the second sending, You sent us Your Spirit to empower, to teach, to reveal, to comfort, all the wonderful things. We learn about Your love. Your love sees a need, and then Your love meets that need. And we can expect that to happen when we love as Christ loved in our lives. Love sees a need in our husbands, in our wives, in our friends, in our enemies, in associates, in a stranger. Love sees a need in the spiritual realm, and then meets that need in the spiritual realm. We praise You, Father, for the God that You are. Pray now Your Spirit will take the things that we've seen here, cause them to settle down and go deep into our souls and take a foundation there, and then bear fruit in our life. We pray these things in Christ's name.